Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tanpac Industries Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Afzal Malkani, Managing Director of Tanpac Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Tanpac Industries Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. Joining me today are Mr. Gupta, our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ravichandran, our President and Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. The last few months have been one of the most significant periods in Tanpac history. We believe the company has now entered a new phase of growth, supported by a stronger balance sheet, an expanding leadership team, strategic investment, and a clear roadmap to build a differentiated fluorochemicals platform. The biggest milestone during the quarter was the successful completion of our 250 crore qualified institutional placements, which received strong participation from several reputed institutional investors. We are grateful for the confidence these investors have placed in our long-term vision. Their participation reinforces our belief that investors recognize Tanpac's transformation from a traditional fluorochemical manufacturer into a company with multiple high-growth value-added opportunities. Further strengthening this confidence, our board has also approved a proposed preferential issue of approximately 100 crore, subject to the necessary approvals, including an investment of around 61 crore by our promoters, Anupam Rasayan. Collectively, these initiatives have transformed our capital structure. Tanpac today is net debt-free, providing us with significant financial flexibility to pursue our next phase of expansion while maintaining a prudent balance sheet. As we prepare for the next stage of growth, building the right leadership team is equally important. I am delighted to welcome Mr. Yogesh Mittal as President, Technical and Operations. Mr. Mittal brings over three decades of extensive experience in project execution, plant commissioning, manufacturing excellence, and technical operations. With multiple strategic projects under execution, his experience will further strengthen our execution capabilities and help us scale our operations efficiently. Additionally, he will help us to maintain the highest standard of safety and operational excellence. Another important development is our board's approval to seek listing of the company's equity shares on the National Stock Exchange, subject to regulatory approvals. We believe this is a natural progression for Tanpac, and NSE listing will improve liquidity, broaden our institutional and retail investor participation, enhance market visibility, and strengthen our engagement with the investor community. Now, coming on to the quarterly performance, we delivered another resilient performance despite a challenging external environment. Revenue grew 6% year-on-year to approximately 187 crore, driven by continued ramp-up of our solar-grade VHF business. During the quarter, profitability was slightly impacted by higher fuel and power costs, higher tax outflows, and elevated sulfur prices. This factor affected margin during the quarter. However, we expect the benefit of cost pass-through to flow through over the normal pricing cycle, which is 30-45 days. Importantly, none of these near-term factors change the structural growth opportunities that lie ahead for the company. Our balance sheet is stronger than ever, and our capital allocation priorities are well-defined. We are executing multiple strategic initiatives that will meaningfully expand our scale, product portfolio, and value-added offerings over the coming years. As we look ahead, our focus remains on disciplined execution, commissioning new capacities on schedule, strengthening customer partnerships, expanding into higher-value fluorochemical products, and creating sustainable long-term value for all our stakeholders. While near-term external headwinds persist, our long-term growth outlook remains robust. With that, I would now like to invite our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gupta, to take you through the company's growth strategy, the progress we are making across our strategic initiatives, and the significant opportunities we see for Tanfac in the years ahead. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Gupta.
Thank you, Mr. Malkani. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now take you through the growth strategy of the company. Our strategy remains focused on moving steadily up the fluorochemical value chain from commodity chemicals towards higher-value technology-driven and higher-margin fluorinated products. In addition, we are actively focusing on electronic-grade chemicals, HFOs, high-performing fluoropolymers, and inorganic fluorides to cater to emerging high-growth sectors. Today, we operate one of India's largest hydrofluoric acid manufacturing facilities with a capacity of nearly 30,000 metric tons per annum. This expanded HF platform is far more than a capacity addition. It provides captive raw material security, improves value chain integration, and creates the foundation for a diversified portfolio of downstream fluorochemicals. As we continue to expand into higher value products, this integrated HF platform will remain one of our strongest competitive advantages. Our solar-grade DHF business continues to progress well. With both phases now commissioned, our focus has shifted from commissioning to ramping up production and execution under long-term customer contracts, extending through financial year 2029. As India's solar manufacturing ecosystem continues to expand, we believe Tanfac is uniquely positioned as the country's first and only domestic supplier of solar-grade DHF, enabling us to participate in one of the fastest-growing segments within specialty fluorochemicals. The business represents an important step in increasing the share of value-added products in our overall revenue mix. The next major growth catalyst is our 20,000 metric tons per annum HFC-32 refrigerant gas project. Execution continues to progress well and remains on schedule for commissioning by the end of Q3 financial year 27. Till Q1 FY27, we have committed 315 crores against a project cost of rupees 395 crores. What gives us significant confidence is that this project is not only backed by our integrated manufacturing capabilities, but also supported by long-term commercial agreements covering approximately 65% of our plant capacity, providing strong visibility even before commissioning. Combined with captive HF availability, established customer relationships, and our growing fluorination expertise, we believe this project positions Tanfac to become an important player in India's refrigerant gas market by opening the door to several future fluorinated products. Looking ahead, we remain largely optimistic about Tanfac's long-term growth trajectory. Over the last 2 years, we have strengthened every pillar of our business. We have expanded our HF platform. We have successfully commercialized solar-grade DHF. We are executing one of the largest growth investments in the company's history through our HFC-32 project. We have significantly strengthened our balance sheet and enhanced our leadership team. Collectively, these initiatives are transforming Tanfac into a more integrated, more diversified, and higher-value fluorochemicals company. With that, I would now request our President and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ravi, to take you through the financial performance of the quarter. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ravi.
Thank you, Mr. Gupta. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now take you through the financial performance for the first quarter of FY27. Despite a challenging operating environment during the quarter, Tanfac delivered a resilient financial performance, reflecting the strength of our integrated business model and continued execution across our growth initiatives. Revenue from operations increased by 6.3% year-on-year to 187 crores compared to 176 crore in Q1 FY26. The growth was primarily driven by higher revenue from our solar grid DHF business, which continues to witness strong demand from the solar industry. On a sequential basis, revenue declined marginally by around 3%. We view this as short-term external factors rather than any change in the underlying demand environment. Operating EBITDA for the quarter stood at 28.6 crores compared with 29 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, with EBITDA margins at 15.3%. Margins during the quarter were impacted primarily by elevated sulfur prices and higher power and fuel costs, largely driven by the geopolitical situation in West Asia. As our pricing contracts generally operate on a cost pass-through mechanism, we expect these cost increases to be progressively recovered over the coming months. Accordingly, we believe the margin pressure experienced during the quarter is temporary in nature. Profit after tax for the quarter was 16.8 crores compared with 19.4 crores in Q1 of FY26. Apart from the moderation in operating profitability, PAT was also impacted by deferred tax adjustment during the quarter. We expect our effective tax rate to normalize over the balance period of the financial year and remain broadly consistent with historical levels. From a balance sheet perspective, the quarter marks a significant milestone for the company. Following the successful completion of our 250 crore qualified institutional placement, our capital structure has strengthened considerably, enabling TANFAC to become net debt free while providing sufficient financial flexibility to fund our ongoing expansion projects without placing undue leverage on the balance sheet. That is it from my side. Now I would like to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Meet Gada, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. First of all, I would like to thank the team for successful completion of the fundraisers. So I have two questions. First, what would be the revenue outlook for FY27 and FY28, if you can highlight? And also wanted to understand what were the measures taken to secure sulfur at lower prices, and if you can comment on the availability. Also, what would be the margin range that the management expects for FY27, given R32 should come up in Q4 FY27?
So, yeah, thank you, Mith. So, there are three questions. You are talking about the margin for the next year, a total outlook for the next year, and second is sulfur, and third is about the margin, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, so if you see, for the company plans to achieve in the current year, at least we are planning to achieve the growth of at least 30% on account of launch of our new project in Q4 FY27 and ramp up of capacity utilization of existing products. For FY28, we are targeting to achieve over 60% growth on account of ramp up of the new project and other inorganic chloride products currently which we are working on. And beyond the currently announced expansion, we continue to actively build a broader pipeline of high-margin fluorine-based products and technologies. So in a nutshell, 60% growth will be there compared to on FY 2027. On the margin side, just in the next quarter onwards, if we talk about the EBITDA margins, then it will improve in the range of 16%-19%. And next year, margin will be even much, much better, about 25% once this new project, SFC-32, will be operational. Regarding the sulfur, yes, we are not, yeah, there is a volatility in the sulfur price. Current sulfur price increased from now 30 rupees to 105 rupees as of now. But the availability of sulfur is not an issue we are currently getting. And whatever is the price increase, we are able to pass through to the customers. But there is a lag of around 30 to 45 days. But yes, definitely, we are able to pass through the sulfur price. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I have just one more question. What are the R&D initiatives taken up for supplying AHF for semiconductor applications?
See, Meet, we are working on that electronic grade R&D, and we are also in the process of having some technology tie-ups with some good companies. So we are just evaluating a couple of them. So once we are clear through it, then we'll go for that major step into electronic chemicals.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. We have our next question from the line of Akash from Investec Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on, so you have highlighted in earlier calls that there is an attractive payback and return profile for SFC-32 project. Assuming that SFC-32 prices normalize to mid-cycle levels over medium term, what do you believe is the sustainable EBITDA margin and ROCE profile for this project?
Yeah, so for this SFC-32 project, as we mentioned in our earlier call, that margin will be around 30% for the new project, and overall business EBITDA margin would be around 25%. So there is no change in that. We have factored in our business model accordingly.
Okay, got it. And the second question is, you mentioned that TANFAC is only the domestic manufacturer for solar-grade DHF. Is this primarily driven by proprietary technology and customer qualification, or is it simply because competitors have not invested in this capability? So how durable is the first mover advantage over the next few years? Do you expect any competition in this?
See, we thought this ahead and we executed it fast with our own and some bot technologies, and we executed it very fast. And customer approvals do take time because it is not a short cycle, because you have to learn it through. So that's what we did. I can't comment on the competition, but today we are the only ones who are producing solar grade and selling solar grade, and we are approved in almost all the customers in solar grade.
Okay, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please limit your questions to only two per participant. We have our next question from the line of Sujal Jainberg from Growmore PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
No, Suraj. Can you please use your handset?
Hello. Am I audible?
No, Suraj, we can't hear you. Yeah, now we can hear you.
So thank you for taking my question. My first question will be regarding, there's a 6% revenue growth compared to quarter one FY26. So I just want to know, is it a realization-led growth or volume-led growth? And my second question would be on the CAPEX front, that what is the further CAPEX plan apart from already announced CAPEX?
So if I say total, there is a 6% growth. Yeah. So we can say the around pricing growth is around 15%, and there is a volume growth of around 6-8%. So overall, on an average, there is a growth of 6% on that. And you are talking about the CapEx. Apart from the current CapEx, which is going on for HFC 32, we plan to invest into expansion of solar grade VHF, expansion of AHF, and value-added products into electronic grid applications. These are the, I think, in the near future, maybe in next 3-4 months, we are planning to do. And for the long term, that we will take a call after 3-4 months. But in the near future, just solar grade VHF, expansion of AHF, and value-added product into electronic grid applications.
So just a follow-up question on that, sir. So can you give me some range or range of CapEx, that what will be the amount you will be investing in this solar grid for this company also?
Solar grade, about 30-40 crores, AHF around 120 crores, and electronic grid is around 150 crores. So it will be around 300 crores with CapEx in all the three segments.
Okay, sir. And this is for FY 27 and 28, right?
This is, we will start once we complete our ongoing project. This HFC 32 is commissioned in December. After that, immediately we'll start.
Okay. Okay, that's from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rajesh Gupta from SBI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I have a couple of questions. What is the CapEx amount done for quarter one, sir? And what is the likely for the rest of the year?
So for this, currently only one project is going on, so I have specific numbers for the total project total spend as on date. So out of 390 crore rupees, we actually spend 100 crores in cash outflow is 100 crores. And total committed liability is 315 crores out of total 390 crores project.
Okay. And sir, I assume that this solar grid project is completely sold out, right, sir? I mean, that capacity is completely sold out, correct? Right?
Yes, yes, Mr. Gupta, yeah.
Okay. And sir, just one more question. Once your R32 project get commissioned, how the revenue mix likely over the next few years or so? If you can provide some color on that.
See, on an average, we are at $5.5 per kg with our 65% of the contracts which we have done. So multiplied by 20,000 tons, if I even take the next 35% at the same rate, so we should be getting in a revenue of almost 900 crores only from 900 to 1,000 crores only from R32, and remaining we will be from our AHF 15,000 tons, which we have already. And 90%, currently the 90% of revenue is domestic and balance 10% is exports. But post commissioning of RG, we expect this ratio to be 50-50%.
Okay. And one last question, sir. Since the revenue is going to pick up from the third quarter onward, so what number you are looking for FY27 in terms of revenue and EBITDA?
So we are looking for a growth of around 30% on FY26.
In the revenue terms?
Yeah, in revenue terms.
Okay. And what kind of margin expansion you looking for, since the other project will go into commission? So obviously,
yeah.
I'm assuming that will contribute better margin. So what margin you will targeting for the entire year on a blended basis?
So for the entire year, because in the Q4 this new project will be commissioned, and for our existing business, the margin is in the range of 16-18%. But considering the Q4 higher margin, our on an average EBITDA margin would be around 21-22% for the whole year.
Okay, good, sir. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only two questions per participant. We have our next question from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So what was the HF realization for this quarter, and how much of our volumes are contracted on an annual basis?
On the AHF basis, our on an average realization of around 275-280 rupees.
How much of this was contracted?
You know, as in the AHF, generally it is on a monthly basis, on monthly or with a few customers, it is on a quarterly basis. There is no long-term contract on AHF. Yes, sir. For the solar grade DHF, we have a long-term contract of 3.5 years. But on the AHF and DHF commercial grade, we sell on a monthly or a quarterly basis.
Sir, and for 2Q, how do you see the realization moving for AHF?
Currently, we see next 4-6 months, it would be stable, but it still again depends on the sulfur price, which is the key raw material. Maybe I think it increased, and I think simultaneously there might be some increase. But currently, for next 4-6 months, we see it would be stable.
And lastly, for FY 2027 and FY 2028, can you give me a volume guidance for R32?
So volume guidance for 2027, 2028, currently on a conservative, we are considering as 80%, 80%-85%.
In FY 2028, right?
Yes, 2028.
And for 2027?
2027, we are considering, we are calculating 65%-70% for the Q4.
Okay. Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Okay, good.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Samarth Goel from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a resilient result. So my first question is, what is the capacity utilization for Q1 of FY 2027? And can you also please give us, give the same on a segmental basis?
So if you see in Q1 FY 2027, HF plant capacity utilization was 73%, and sulfuric acid plant was around 85%-88%, and specialty fluoride is 50%. And you're talking about the revenue segment, segment-wise?
The volume split segment-wise, basically, utilization split segment-wise.
So yeah, that is in percentage terms, I think, yeah. In AHF is around 75%, sulfuric acid around 90%, and specialty fluoride, which includes 4-5 products, that is around 50%.
Got it, sir. So my next question is, are you seeing any issues or price challenges in the fluorspar pricing, considering the current situation?
So in the fluorspar price, there is no challenges in the fluorspar price. But yes, there are some logistic challenges in terms of cost, but no issue to us, as we have started sourcing from players in South Africa, Vietnam, and Thailand, and other 2-3 geographies.
Got it, sir. So one last question, regarding R32 gases. So, we know, I was reading somewhere that U.S. is revisiting import duties which they have placed on China regarding the R32 gas price, R32 gases. So will there be any implication of any change in anti-dumping duties in that to for us?
So for us, I don't think there's any change in the U.S. duties. For China, the anti-dumping duties exist against R32. So I don't see in near term any changes in happening.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on the solar grade. Since the plants got commissioned last year, if you can, you know, share your thoughts on the ramp-up here, the revenue contribution that we are seeing here.
See, we are, we have ramped up the plant. Now we are running on full capacity, and the product is also getting sold. And there's a renewed demand which is coming in with the addition of new solar players coming in. They are starting, some of them are expanding capacities, and some new are coming in August, September, and August to December period. So I don't see a challenge in solar grade now, any.
So this plant is, as we speak, it's fully, you know, sold out. And how much of this will be contracted?
80%-85% is contracted.
And when we say contracted, this is a volume commitment or even the pricing is fixed?
Volume, volume.
Okay.
Pricing varies because depending on our raw materials, we pass on the pricing.
Sure, yeah. Thanks. Second bit on the electronic grade, you mentioned that we are working on some tie-up with global companies. Any timelines on this? And a question related to it, you also mentioned a great CapEx of around 150 crore for this. Have we already started work on this CapEx, or once we get the tech, et cetera, and then we'll go ahead with the CapEx?
We are evaluating various techs now at this time. The immediate priority for us is expansion of DHF, solar DHF. Second priority will be to put up an AHF along with the electronic grade. So we are evaluating the various technologies which are available there, and then we will take a call, which one to take and how to go and all. Broad level CapEx indication is this, broad level. It might be plus minus 10%. I still can't comment on it on a 100% basis.
Okay, fair enough. And just last bit, slightly bookkeeping questions. If I look at the overhead for us in this quarter, manpower cost has declined, power and fuel, went up sharply while other overheads declined. Why this volatility on a Q1Q basis, if you can just highlight there? Thank you.
So first, if I take the elevated fuel, power and fuel cost, that is largely attributable to the West Asia situation. And in addition to that, due to shutdown of sulfuric acid plant due to maintenance, our captive power plant was not operational, and hence we bought power from grid, which led to increase in power cost on one-off basis in Q1 27. But overall power and fuel cost should be stabilized in Q2 FY 27. And coming on to the employee cost, last year there is quite a reduction in the employee cost in the Q1 compared to last Q1 FY23, because last year we have given some one-off advantage benefit and bonuses to the employees. So that is, I think, it was on a higher side. And currently I think it is normal. There is a slight reduction in that.
Okay, that's it, sir. Thanks a lot for answering all the questions. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rudraksh Gupta from Navneet Investment Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
So, hi, good afternoon. Just have a couple of questions. First question is, my question is mainly related to broader industry perspective. As a pioneer player in HF markets, how are we seeing HF demand currently?
HF demand closely is around 30 to 35,000 tons per annum on a broad level basis on AHF tons. Indian demand. I'm talking of domestic.
And one more question related to the earlier one. Due to the HF capacity built by your peers, will there be any impact on your current HF business?
So currently, if we don't see any significant impact due to this, because this is because one third of our HF capacity goes for the solar grade DHF, where we don't have any competition as mentioned by Mr. Gupta. And in addition to that, around 4,000 metric tons we use captively. So 50% of our demand is already placed, and remaining goes into the varied industries in many applications like surface treatments and fluoropolymers. And apart from this, in future, from December onwards, when our HFC 32 is commercialized, we would captively use significantly more HF.
Okay, that's helpful. If I may squeeze in one last question. Are we witnessing any pricing pressure from Chinese import in the HF market? Additionally, given China's significant production capacity, why are exports of AHF to India relatively limited? Is it due to any regulatory restriction, logistics, or any other factors?
So we don't see any challenges from the China for the AHF import, because AHF is a control and dual use chemical, and its export is subject to stringent regulatory approvals, extensive and use documentations, custom filings and export license requirement, making the process lengthy and cumbersome. And additionally, AHF requires dedicated ISO tanks for transportations, and these tanks often return empty from India. So the logistics become commercially unattractive compared to export to their nearby countries such as Japan and South Korea. So it's very, and therefore considering the regulatory complexity, logistic challenges, and China's always preference for downstream value additions. So we have not seen any meaningful pricing pressures or any major significant import from China as far as AHF is concerned.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from Growth Sphere Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And firstly, congratulations on an amazing fundraise. And again, thank you so much for taking the step to migrate into NSE. That really helps as a shareholder. Sir, regarding my first question, sir, I just wanted to understand a little bit more on this contract that you have mentioned, like 65 to 70% of our asked due to capacity already booked for next, I think, 5 to 8 years. So there is some sort of variance in terms of the industry peers commentary. Some people say that they don't choose contract prices worse. Instead, they prefer these spot market contracts, considering the pricing of these larger term contracts is pretty lower, because currently I think the price of R32 is almost $9 to $10. And if my understanding serves me right, our pricing is roughly $5 for this longer term contract. So I just wanted to understand, like, is this decision also governed by the fact that we are backward integrated and this lower type of pricing can also support good ROCEs for our incremental capital deploy? Or what was our take regarding this strategy versus the strategy that our peers are adopting?
See, two factors. One is we are new into the refrigerant gas space. So we wanted to play in the market, as fast as possible. You know, go to market should not take time. Number two, we also believe that after addition of capacities, looking at the demand supply situation, the prices will soften. So if you look at our contracts today, in today's dollar terms, it is around $5.5, which was earlier $5 when we did the contract.
Okay.
It is now $5.5. We looked at, forecasting that looking into demand supply in next one and a half years, the prices will soften to the $6 to $7 in between. So looking at our speed to market, go to market, when we are placing our 65% of the product right from day one, right? Instead of working on it, spending overheads, travel, hiring manpower and all, I've already placed our 65% of the product in the market at a decent price margin, wherein it is also formula based. So any increases in my cost will be passed on to the customer also. Right. That is also given in the contract. So I'm playing safe. So 65% is placed. Remaining, another 30%, I'll play on the spot.
Got it. So, sir, as you mentioned that our solar DHF grid as well as our R22 will be majorly towards these longer term contracts, wherein we also have a pass-through mechanism. So, is it fair to say, like, we will maintain a certain sort of fixed EBITDA per ton for the given set of volumes that we will sell?
Correct.
Okay.
My 65% is sold at a fixed EBITDA margin, which I'm certain of, right? There's no volatility there.
Hmm.
Now, really 30%, I will enjoy the spot price, whatever it is.
Okay. And sir, since our raw material is majorly sulfur and fluorspar, and one of the gripes that existing investors have with regards to the AHF division is that because of this vast volatility in the sulfur prices and our contract being basically on the spot front, we used to face a lot of volatility on the margin front. But once this R32 capacity comes live, is it fair to say that not only will our margins increase exponentially, but also there will be some sort of stability in terms of the margin profile of the business?
Correct.
Okay. Perfect.
Cycle smoothening will happen.
Okay. So structurally, the margin profile will be much more stable and better.
Correct. Correct.
And sir, given this sort of project that you are mentioning, I think based on our estimates, you should generate almost more than 300 crores plus of cash flow, at least from the next coming year. And this is massive considering the current scale of the business, like we are generating hardly 100 crores back at the moment. So I just wanted to understand, like, you already touched up upon the fact that we are exploring other areas like electronic grade, DHF, and as well as fluoropolymers. But there is some sort of patent parasite in that side. So Is there some sort of clear tangible direction that you can provide us, like in terms of what are the initial projects that you will be targeting or the target customers? Or some sort of tech partnership or what will be the sales strategy, like some sort of basic on that front so that we can at least understand the strategy beyond R32.
See, beyond R32, we have, number one is, I've told you, we will expand the solar grade DHS, right? Second is, we are going to, you know, planning for expanding solar grades, and then we foray into the electronic grade DHF for application in semiconductors. Next step.
Okay.
And, you know, we will also enter into future sustainable low GWP gases like HFOs and high performing fluoropolymers. So the first two,
okay,
electronic grade and solar grade are the near term ones, and the HFOs and fluoropolymers, higher performing fluoropolymers, are after 2.5-3 years. So
okay,
they will come to execution after three years, right? By the time the patents will also be gone, and also we would have developed our own tech for doing this. We are working on it. We are halfway through it. So we'll also take some time in, like, you know, another year or so to get our tech right. And then after a year, we can announce those projects, you know, in FY28, so that those are executed by 2029 or 2030.
Okay. So is it fair to say that going forward, as we are climbing up the value chain and incrementally all these new projects will also have some sort of contract-based agreements which can also guarantee us some sort of volumes in terms of the incremental capex that we'll do? Or will it be mixed in terms of spot and what?
The solar grade, we have seen we can do contracts. In electronic grade also, in semicon, because approval cycle is a bit long. So it is also contract-based with the fabs, you know, the fabrication units.
Okay.
And then the fluoropolymers high performing, because these, we will go into the specialized and the niche areas. So that also will be contracted, because wherever the approval cycles are there, there are barriers to entry and barriers to exit both. So once you enter, building a customer suffers to have a, you know, consistent supply chain over a period of time, so that he doesn't face any volatility in supplies, volatile situation in supplies.
Right.
And the demand is going up in these areas. So all customers are interested to do a contract. So once your product is approved, require contractual situations wherein we have a fixed margin which is predictable over a long period of time.
And I think we benefit from the fact that because we make our HF in-house. Yeah, just one last question from my end before I can go back to the queue, if you are okay with it. So, Himanguji, just one last question from my end. Like, there is a lot of concern regarding the quota, but aside that, since next year is a free year, so beyond the 70% sort of committed utilization from these longer term contracts, how difficult it will be for us to do these sort of spot sales of R32? Or considering the pricing might actually turn out to be better than our existing contracts. So should you model only 70% utilization in the coming year, or you guys are confident to do 100% sort of utilization of the newer capex?
I am confident of getting 90% plus utilization in the coming year.
Perfect. So that's the answer that I was looking for. Thank you so much for your time. I will join back the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please limit your questions to only two per participant. Should you have follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I got a few. First, what is our AHF capacity today now that we will be utilizing the significant portion of AHF for R32? This also means that in interim, our AHF sales will come down. That's a fair way to look at it?
Correct.
So how much
but
are
we are expanding? We are also expanding, we are planning to expand the AHF also. As I told in my previous answers, that the solar grade expansion and then AHF along with the electronic grid. That's our near-term plan.
But that will come with a lag, right? In interim, will not be there, right, for us.
AHF revenue will come down, yes.
AHF revenue will come down, right? And now, how are we fully covered for the AHF requirement for our R32 and...
We have 30,000 tons and we can actually produce 32,000 tons, 32 to 33,000 tons. 15,000 tons would be our AHF, which will be required for R32. So we will still have 17,000-18,000 tons of AHF for sales. And then the 10,000 is solar grade. So 7,000-8,000 tons of pure AHF we can sell into commercial.
Okay, okay. We will still have some capacity to sell in the market.
Yeah.
And what is the addition we are looking at in the AHF capacity, and when are we expecting?
We are planning between anything between 20,000 to 30,000 tons, because we have a long term plan of HFOs and high performing fluoropolymers and electronic grade. So looking at those demands, so we are just evaluating between 20 and 30.
Okay, okay. And this plant should be commissioned what, in FY 2029?
No, I think 2028. So 2027 will start, 2028 beginning or mid, I think it should be commissioned. Yeah.
Got it. And from a diluted AHF capacity, are we looking at more contract beyond this 10,000 metric ton immediately, or we are fully covered with this 10,000?
In solar grade you are asking, no?
Yeah, solar grade. Yeah.
Yeah, solar we already have 85% of the total capacity is 85% contracted. So now we are seeing renewed demand. So the same players, they want us to, you know, provide more solar grade DHF. So that is why our immediate next step is to expand the solar grade capacity.
Now that, how much are we looking to expand solar grade DHF?
We are planning to almost double it. Almost. Okay. I don't know. We have not decided. We have to look at the reactors and the other things. But that is what the plan is.
Got it, got it. And second, third on the fluoropolymer. Yes. What are we really looking in fluoropolymer? PVDF or PVTFE?
See, Sanjay, it is a bit confidential. We are working with some customers and we have developed some products and given them for approvals. So depending on the segments and the approvals, so we will decide on the which makes best sense for us. We have 2-3 options currently going on.
But it will be in the same family of fluoropolymer, or we are looking at more specialized?
See, ultimately, all the fluoropolymers emerge from TFE or VDF, right? You keep combining them and adding a third party, third raw material, and you keep getting a lot of. So there are 10 to 12 fluoropolymers. So I'm not disclosing or, you know, anything as of now. It is confidential. So, but yes, we are working on it.
That means you are looking at signing a contract and then putting the capacity? That's the way to think?
Yes, yes. You are right. But we will not prefer to go into the commodity-based fluoropolymers. Yeah, that is for sure.
Got it, got it. Super. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thanks, Sandesh. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Preet Jain from Nivesha Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question is on what is the current completion status of R32? Specifically, what percentage is complete and how does the actual timeline compare to our original schedule? And what is the final capex spend versus the budget done at that plant? And is the plant operationally ready for trials? Yeah, are there any have we sent the product for approval to customers or they are pending?
See, the plant is on track. We have completed almost 60% of the work and remaining 30%, 35% whatever is there, that will be finished by November. So we plan to commission the plant somewhere in November end, wherein we can see some product out in November out, and December we might start ramping up the capacity and stabilizing it in January. That's the plan. So I don't think there's an issue. And out of 395 crores, we have already tied up with 350 crores is already done. Out of which 100 crores is cash flow, which is outgo, already done. So remaining we'll do it as the time progresses in this month. And I don't think there's an issue in the project product approvals and all, because we successfully got the product first in our lab, then in our pilot plant. So we are 100% satisfied, and we also got it tested by the third parties, and we don't expect any cost overruns also in the plant.
Sir, the machine which are going to arrive at in August 1st week or 2nd week, we were told that there were some delays in some sales. So are that machines on time or that machine has been delayed?
No, I'll tell you, the machines are arriving in first week of September, by 10th of September, and then erection will take another 20-25 days. So once it is erected in October, we'll put in the catalyst and all, then everything is on track.
Okay, sir. project. And sir, with R32 consuming, you told that R32 HS CapEx will be announced hydrofluorination. So basically, we will operate that plant by next year, quarter two or quarter three, right? Because R32 will consume major of our HS.
It needs about 12 months to start, yeah. Solar grid will start in 6 months, but AHF will start in about 12 to 15 months, yeah.
Okay. And currently, does our AHF go to electrolyte cell based site places also in India? Because they also require AHF for their production of electrolytes.
Yeah, I can't, I'm not allowed to take name of the customers, but yes, it goes.
Okay. So how are you seeing traction from that side, basically?
We have seen some increased volumes, but they are not very significant. Say, you know, 10% increase kind of volumes over last year.
Okay. So, can you, other than our internal consumption, who is basically our AHF where our AHF is consumed most, in which sector
there are,
basically?
There are three sectors. So, you want to know the name of the customers or you want to know the segments?
Both will be okay.
I'll tell you, one is the solar grid segment where one third of our capacities goes. The second is the pharma, agro and refrigerant gas segment where the one third of the capacity goes. The remaining one third goes into the surface treatment, steel segment, glass segment and also some that is used for our captive production of inorganic fluorides.
Okay. And who are your
bigger
customers there?
Jindal, Piramal, Khoisan, Tata, Adani, Premier Energies, these are all the big customers here.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rikin Shah from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand how would the ramp up in R32 go. I understand it starts in November, but you know the first few months or quarters could go in ramp up and stabilization. So have we factored in any sort of teething losses or sort of unexpected things in our guidance for numbers ahead?
We are taking 1.5 months to 2 months for stabilization. Practically December and January will go into stabilization where it will ramp up also. So we expect from February mid, it should be, we are planning a vertical startup basically. So, you know, we should be ramping up quickly and we have done this in our pilot plant. So we are quite confident that we'll be able to ramp up in February.
All right. That's all from my end. Thanks.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Karan Kandar from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a fundraise. What I wanted to know is how is our R&D setup like and how are we investing into R&D and what is our thought process regarding R&D?
See, currently, R&D team is headed by Dr. L.R. Ravichandran. He has been in the company for more than 4 decades now. And widely experienced, and more than 10 professionals, including 3-4 PhDs, are working in our R&D department as of now. We have about 5 to 8 production pipeline, and large part of the portfolio is related to hydrofluoroolefins, fluoropolymers, and electronic chemicals. And we are also working on some 5-6 inorganic fluorides, in which HF is the key raw material. And the application is mainly pharmaceuticals and agrochemicals.
Got it, sir. And what has been our R&D investment over the last year?
So,
if you can put a number to it, including employees as well as CapEx both.
So, CapEx, we invested around 7 to 8 crore rupees in last 1.5 years. And if we see total expense in terms of amount as a revenue in nature, so then I think it would be around 5 to 6 crore rupees.
Got it, sir. Can you give me a split for solar grade versus EHF? How much of our total HF is being sold towards solar grade?
So, out of the total revenue, 75% from the AHF-based, AHF, BHF and solar grade.
So out of 75%, around 35% is solar grid, 40% in directly AHF and in commercial grid, and 25% for the other value-added product.
Got it, sir. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, we have indicated that we have about 65% of our R32 capacity already contracted out. This is only for calendar year 2027 or beyond? And is it explicitly for the explosives? Sorry.
Some customers it's 5 years, some customers it's 7 years.
Perfect. And this is only for exports market, right?
About 75% of it is exports, yeah.
Right. And second question, in terms of the, you know, for R32 project, beyond the current investment, what are the new leg of investments that we are, you know, planning to take? And what could be the quantum of the same? Because this year, this project will get completed. FY28, FY29, any kind of CapEx?
I'm told that, you know, we are going for the solar grid DHF immediately, expansion. That is the first CapEx. Second will be expansion of AHF and electronic grid for semicon. Then the third will be HFOs and high-performing fluoropolymers. This all will come by 2030, 31. Everything. 30. You know, so it will go phase by phase in a phased manner, yeah.
Overall CapEx number that we're looking at for the next 4 years?
This number will be close to about 300 and say 7,000, about 1,500 to 1,700 crores it will be the CapEx.
Sure. And what, just last bookkeeping question on R32 project, will we be availing the 15% tax rate or will it be having the 22% tax rate?
Yeah, this will be 22% tax rate, yeah.
Sure. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shlok Patel from Zenflow Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask that the solar capacities are going to increase to 6 to 8 times in next 5 years, as you mentioned earlier. So are you also looking to increase our capacities for solar DHF in that manner? Like increasing our capacity 5 to 6 times in next 5 to 6 years?
Yeah, see, currently the solar capacity for wafers and chips is 35 gigawatts as of now, which they plan to go up to 210 gigawatt till FY29. How fast it grows, because we have been hearing this for last 3 years, but the growth has been slower. So hence we are also going stepwise. So we are putting up a plan, consolidating, and then putting up the plan. So that's how we are going it. So today, the requirement of solar grid DHF is around 30 kt per hour, which is expected to go to 210 kt. So, you know, we'll also are planning to expand simultaneously as the solar capacity keeps on increasing. Hello?
Hello, Shlok, are you there?
I think he got disconnected.
He got disconnected. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding, because sulfur prices have really gone up a lot, and I was just checking, maybe sulfuric acid prices have not gone up as much. So because you make sulfuric acid also and then AHF also, so just wanted to check what has happened to both the spreads, sulfur, sulfuric acid, and then sulfuric acid and AHF, and how is it affecting your margins right now, and how do you see it playing out in the next 2 quarters?
So, yeah, so if I see, as in the sulfur price has increased, so simultaneously sulfuric acid price have also gone up. So our margin, our spread are remains the same only. There is no change in that. So simultaneously sulfuric acid price have also gone up. So margin for both are almost similar only. So though there was earlier is the sulfuric acid was around 20 rupees, currently it is 30 to 35 rupees. Yes, but margins are the same.
Okay. And is it the same for your sulfuric acid to AHF spread? That spread is also maintained?
Yeah, there is a time lag of 30 to 40 days. Yeah. There is an increase, but it is taking 30 to 40 days.
Got it. And sir, in your long-term contracts for R32, there is one firm contract with the Japanese, but the other ones that you mentioned, those are termed as MOUs. So,
no,
for the best of my
understanding...
Okay.
Yeah. The Japanese is a firm contract. The other is a domestic OEM. That is also almost a contract. And the third is an MOU, which is going to convert into a contract very soon.
Okay. And the MOU of take is how much? 3,500 tons.
The MOU of take is 5,000 tons.
5,000 tons. Okay. And sir, all of these three will be take or pay contracts, as you clarified last time.
Yeah. And it is also mentioned in our presentation also, PPT also.
Okay, understood. And sir, last question. I think you've touched upon it, but I just wanted to go a little deeper. You consistently say that you're the only solar grade PHF player in India. See, solar demand is booming. You say that there is about 10% more margins. I'm just curious, like, there are other players who make AHF, right? What is preventing them from capturing some of this market from you? Is it that they have other uses which are higher margin, that's why it's not coming? I'm just curious, just want to understand from you.
You have to ask them why they are not entering into this. I can't really comment on that. So, but I know that there is a strict quality requirement of all impurities cannot be more than 10 parts per billion. So that capability is required to produce solar grade. Yeah, and CAPEX is also there, and then you have to learn through it. The learning also takes 4-5 months to achieve this kind of quality. It doesn't come on day one.
Understood, sir. And in terms of purity, when you go from solar grade to semiconductor grade, in terms of parts per million or billion impurity, how many times is that more challenging? Is it 1,000 times more less impurity?
Yeah, it is 100 ppt and this is 10 ppb. So it is parts per billion, 10 parts per billion, that is 100 parts per trillion. So almost 1,000 times, yeah.
So it's orders of magnitude. So sir, since you're attempting that, how many years of R&D effort do you think it will take, and what is your internal understanding of probability of success there? Are you tying up with technology with certain Japanese or other players?
Yeah.
You can elaborate.
Yeah, to reduce the time, we will tie up with the technology suppliers, and that's how we go to market faster. Otherwise, if we go on the R&D, it might take years.
Understood. And will it be like an investment from a partner, or do you anticipate paying some commissions, etc., for the technology? Like, how do you think it will...
We will invest on our own, the CAPEX, and then we'll tie up with customers to sell.
Okay, but sir, in terms of absorbing the technology, I'm saying, how will you absorb the technology? It's very difficult, right? You're saying it's 1,000 times less impurities that you have to go from what you're making today.
We have learned it through solar grade, so we'll absorb the technology. That's not a big issue. We have already, we are evaluating it. We're just evaluating various technologies, nothing else. We know how to do it.
Sure, and how many years of effort do you think it will be before...
Sorry to interrupt you, Nirvana.
This is the last question, just to follow up on that. So how many years of R&D effort before you can see commercial revenues from semiconductor grade, sir?
I think R&D effort, more than R&D effort, it is more of an approval cycle, which takes about 1 to 1.5 years in semicon for approval cycle. So approval cycle will take 1 to 1.5 years. After that, we can see the increased margins of semicons.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today and for your continued interest in Genpact. We sincerely appreciate the continued support and confidence of our shareholders, analysts and investors. We are also grateful to the investors who participated in our recently concluded QIP and planned preferential issue. Your trust in Genpact's long-term vision and growth strategy is deeply valued, and we can remain committed to deploying the capital prudently to drive sustainable growth and long-term value creations. As we move forward, our focus will remain on operational excellence, project execution, deepening customer partnerships, expanding our portfolio of value-added fluorochemicals, and executing our strategic priorities with discipline. Should you have any further queries, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations partner, SGA. Thank you once again for your continued support, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Tenpack Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.